here, given the circumstance, was quite incredible. And I really appreciate that. I know our players appreciate the support that they received throughout the year. It could have been a fairly volatile place to play under, but our fans were exceptionally classy and supportive of our players. And in my conversations with our players individually on the way out the door, they all, to a man, spoke about how much they appreciated that and how much they enjoyed playing here. So that's what I wanted to start with. I don't really have a lot to add from what we talked about, what was 6 or 7 weeks ago. So in an effort to reduce redundancy, I'll just open it up to any questions that you folks have. Well, I think for me, I don't know that I've seen a transformation like that in all my years in hockey. That he really did become a very valuable player for us down the stretch. And whatever ignites that, whether it's a conversation or a line mate or a coach or a level of experience, it's really hard to identify what ignites that, but there's no denying that Yak has turned the corner. And from what I talked about before, our growth is going to be internal growth and incremental growth, and Yak and his development is a byproduct of that, is a product of that strategy. And something that's going to be continued. We've talked about, there was a lot of discussion revolving around Yak about the potential to trade, but again, I've said and been consistent in what I've said that it's not my preference. I don't think it's good strategy to trade developing players, and I think that has been rewarded, and Yak has been rewarded with a 2-year contract.
I'm not even sure when it was, but I'm guessing around December, Bob Nicholson talking about peeling back the onion and a forensic audit that would be shared with the fans. At what point, what can you share with us about that, how it relates to you and the people that you are over in hockey ops and everything else going on?
Well, when we went through that with Bob, I sat in on a couple of those meetings with Bob. Obviously, I would imagine that my job and what I do is under the heading of that investigation, so I'm not privy to the exact details of that. From a hockey operations standpoint, we've had quite a few changes in our amateur scouting procedures. We've added Bob Green. I think that all our resources right now from a hockey operations standpoint are committed to the amateur draft. I'm very confident that we've got it right in terms of what were the communication with our field scouts and our overall decision makers. Scott Housen is waded into the amateur draft. Nobody's seen him around here. To me, he's one of the best evaluators of talent there is out there. He, along with Bob Green, who we named as director of scouting, and Stu McGregor, are responsible for coordinating our list. So it's really an emphasis organizationally on the importance of the amateur draft. And if you're going to do one thing right in this business, it's the amateur draft. And I've said before that we haven't been as good as we needed to be over the last number of years, and I think that in a large way is what's put us in the situation that we're in. I think that the communication is better, and I'm confident that the results will follow as they have over the last couple of years. Now, we've seen some development from some of the people that later development that's coming through our organization, players like Anton Lander, Oscar Klefbom, Tyler Pitlick, and Loren Barsoit got a game and looked good. So not that we drafted Loren, but there is evidence that some of the players that we have drafted are starting to develop, and that speaks well to our ability to continue to do that and improve that going forward.
Craig, I know you obviously have to remain positive to GM. It hasn't been great. You said on Saturday you feel like things are getting better, but when you look at the stats, there's really no improvement in wins, which is ultimately what matters. So what specifically do you think is improving in your organization?
Well, our potential to grow and the potential of our players. We've added a lot more players over the last couple of years. I haven't gone through the exercise of putting I've been at this job for 2 years. That's been well documented. I haven't gone through the exercise of putting the list of players that we had when I took over to the list of players that we have now. But I feel like the situation certainly has improved over the last couple of years. There was lots of work to do. There's lots of development internally on the horizon. I don't think we're that far off. I don't think I'm naive in saying that. I've said this before about the organization. I feel more comfortable with the foundation that we have right now and that we can build from this foundation. We need some critical pieces. There's no question. I'm not going to sit here and say that we don't. We need an improvement in some pretty vital areas of our team performance. But I feel that some of those pieces may be in the organization already developing, and the other pieces are going to be up to hockey operations to try and identify and bring in.
Do you think our overall work ethic as a group needs to improve, and if so, how do you go?
Well, I think if you're going to point to things in areas of growth, there's no question to me that our collective defensive ability has to improve. And we're last in goals against. I think, you know, a lot is always laid at the feet of the goaltending because generally they're the last player to make the mistake and they don't have anybody behind them to cover. But it's a much deeper problem than that. All the conversations, without getting into too many of the details in my individual conversations with our players, but all my conversations with our players have been revolving around a greater commitment to defense, a greater commitment to play without the puck, and reducing the amount of chances that we give up. And to me, there's lots of room for improvement there. We'll be focusing on that in terms of a personnel standpoint as well as a tactical standpoint going into next year.
Craig, in terms of personnel on the blue line, Klefbom's come along. Schultz admitted he maybe took a bit of a step back, but what do you think you need to go get? Like, can you be a competitive team next year if Klefbom and Schultz are the guys you're rolling out against the other team's best players every night? Are they ready for that, or do you need to go find those guys still?
Well, I think we can be a competitive team, for sure, but we've got to make some additions there. For me, it's a, it gets to, how much we're going to pay in terms of developing assets for proven assets that are declining assets, potentially declining assets. Because the minute that developing asset intersects with that declining asset, that's when you regret it. And that's really the gist and the crux of our decision-making from now going through to next year. Because make no mistake, we have the assets that we can go out and acquire more proven players, but these players are going to be in all likelihood declining players, and is that going to be the best strategy for our hockey club? Will we spend, do I envision a scenario where a proven top one or top two defenseman becomes available? Potentially. I think there are going to be some very unhappy teams here in the next couple of weeks. There are going to be teams that are up against a very tight salary cap, and that's going to create an environment where they potentially could be looking to offload some high-end assets, and we'd be in a position because of the some of the developing assets that we have that we'd be able to acquire them and the money that we have.
Just really quick on that, with Klefbom specifically, yeah. Like in his development, do you put him at risk at all by putting him in that spot before he's ready? Do you need to insulate him a little bit?
I don't think, when you talk about Oscar, I don't think there's one facet of the game where you can put him and hurt his development. There are guys that I see that are just going to be really good players and potentially star players. I see that in him. I don't think there's one area when you have meetings with players at the end of the year, there are normally four or five things you can point out that you got to do better, you got to improve on your fitness. I'm at a bit of a loss for him with the exception of experience. I think offensively he's grown the last 20 or 25 games. I don't know what everybody in here feels, but I feel a whole lot of comfort when he's going back and defending and going to break the puck out. So when I look at Oscar, all I think of is we need a couple more of them. And I think we've got one in the system, and that'll move the dial too as well.
Craig, you opened up your statement by thanking the fans and talking about the fans and how they've put up with the team and whatnot this year. What would your message be to, it seems as though, legions of fans who have walked away from,
Is this leading to another ESPN
No, it's top? Not leading to the ESPN, yeah. But I'm just saying, I mean, there's a lot of empty seats in Rexall this year, and a lot of fans kind of are tired of, this same.
Well, I understand that. I don't doubt that. It's human nature to be upset when you see a team that continually doesn't make the playoffs, but fortunately for us, we live in an environment, in a climate, in a city where hockey is very passionate, and people are passionate about hockey, and they're very knowledgeable about hockey. So people that I see, I run into people that are upset about the performance level of the team. I run into other people that are optimistic about the potential of the team, and I'm an optimist. I think this is going to be. I think there are good things around the corner. My mandate from ownership all along has been to participate and build a team that's got long-term sustainable success and a team that has an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup. It sounds shallow in here to sit here in front of all of you, having not made the playoffs for the last 7 years, and talk about a Stanley Cup. But things change quickly in this business. Who knows what ignites it? I think that the culture of the team I can point to is improving. I would think the people that have a day-to-day relationship in that dressing room would agree with that. We want hard-working, cooperative people. We've transitioned this team from an older group of players to a younger group of players, and that transition is still taking place. Are they ready? We've got to support our core. We've got to lend support to the people that I believe are worthy of that support and will lead us out of this. And we got to add to the core, and we're going to do that in this draft. We're positioned very well. We weren't positioned all that well last year. We had a first-round pick. We didn't have a second. We didn't have a third, which I traded. I didn't do that this year. And now we're in a very good position in an excellent draft this year. And, drafting players and developing players is like putting money in the bank. It doesn't necessarily do you any good in terms of improving your lifestyle immediately, but long term, it's a very savvy and smart strategy.
Before we go to Reed, this group voted Oscar Clefbaum as defenseman. Just go back to the last question, but Reed and then
G. Yeah, Craig, I'm just wondering what qualities is it important for you for the next head coach to have? And just as a bit of an aside, I know you said you're going to take your time with hiring, but is there a date where you, in your mind, where you say, absolutely, we'll get out of
here? There are all the qualities we'll be looking for. And before I talk about that, I'd be crazy not to acknowledge the good job I feel that Todd did since he took over. So I don't want to get into too much about specifics about what the next coach will look like, but I've been consistent in what I've said about coaching. I've got to let the emotion die down from the season. We're going to give a fixed amount of time going forward to see what that landscape looks like, and then we're going to make a decision. But it really is my experience that you're better off buying some time before we get to that conclusion.
Craig, just over to the right here. When you look at the amount of points that now it takes to get into the playoffs, it seems like more and more every year. Do you think that it's something that with some good off-season moves you could be there next year? Or do you think that maybe cutting it in half in year one or next year and then making that next step second year?
I think for me it's next year I would forecast is another developmental year. There's going to be modest growth largely depending on what we're going to be able to do going forward. I don't expect our draft choices to come in and move the dial for us. A lot of that growth will be internal growth and maybe a few pieces that we can add. Who knows when it, who and what can ignite it? I think to forecast a point total would be useless for me at this point.
Bob and then Dean.
Craig, you mentioned that the team has been transitioned from an older team to a younger team. Will we see more of a progression with the leadership as well on that front? And I guess it may just be symbolic, but in terms of who the eventual captain will be, I mean, there's been a bit of a history of, you know, third line forwards or second pairing, third pairing defensemen wearing letters in the city. You've got some top end players that are out there. Do you think they're at the stage where they'd be ready to take on that mantle?
Well, that's something that I'm not really prepared to get into today in terms of the leadership for next year. I would say for sure that the group that you're referring to is way further along as we sit here today than they were last year. And whether, I mean, and I'd also be remiss in not acknowledging what a great job Andrew's done for us in the dressing room and in the community. He's exhibited a lot of the qualities that the next captain will certainly benefit from watching him the way he conducts himself, not only in the dressing room, but outside the dressing room.
Craig, you've talked a lot about developing properly as you guys move forward. And I know a lot of this depends on what you do in the offseason, but in a perfect world, would you start next year with Drysdale and Nurse in the AHL?
Well, they wouldn't want to hear that in a press conference. And what I've said about them for the last quite some time is they're going to determine their own level, and I don't want to put a ceiling on them they have to go to the American Hockey League, but they're going to determine that. And there's nothing wrong with going to the American Hockey League. It's a great developmental league, a great developmental tool. It enhances development. It speeds up development in a lot of ways. So the players, the challenge for both Darnell and Leon will be to come in here and prove that they're ready, because it takes an exceptional athlete to make that transition right into the NHL. And we need players that think the game well and have experience. So that'll be on both Darnell, who's had a lot of experience. Leon's going to get a lot of experience here in this CHL playoff and hopefully into the Memorial Cup.
John, just revisiting the coaching, you talk and you have talked many times about the importance of development, internal growth, patience, all of those kinds of qualities. There's evidence from this season that individual players and the team itself moved along, further along, under Todd Nelson. And part of the evidence is the players themselves, their testimonials that he has really helped them, including from Neil Yakupov just this morning.
Yeah.
Is the immediate kind of sense of we've got now cast a wide net for a new coach, or perhaps but that he'd be part of that, maybe, but is that in conflict with your emphasis on development? You've got a guy who's doing it.
Right. Well, it's not a wide net, for sure. And I'm not saying we won't catch Todd in that net ultimately. But, you know, it would be there's no downside for me taking some time to make this decision. I've had that dialogue with Todd. I've communicated very clearly to Todd that I've admired the job and respected the job that he's done. I've seen it much like you have. There has been improvement in the on-ice performance. I mean, Todd gets the lion's share of the credit for that. I mean, there has been personnel changes that I think have helped as well, that I wasn't able to do with Dallas here. But Todd is a laid-back guy that his messaging has really resonated with this team. But having said all that, I still want to give myself some time to see exactly what the landscape is going forward. But your point's well taken.
Quinn and then Jim, we're going to take about four more guys.
Craig, what does your offseason look like? What is the priority for you, I guess?
For me, it's tomorrow I go to Europe for the U18 to Switzerland. I'm going to pile on with the amateur draft. We're going over there with, it's a great place to watch all the European players as well, some of the Canadians, some of the U.S. players. So we're going to do that tomorrow. That's the start. That rolls into the our amateur scouting meetings. So it's a busy time. The work is just starting for us right now. There's lots of work ahead of us. We're going to put in the work. We're going to put in the hours, and we're going to make sure that we get this thing turned around. But it's going to be a very busy summer for me and the rest of the organization.
Jim, Terry, you mentioned about the goaltending worst goal average. How do you go about getting another goaltender? Do you just take somebody who's older, or do you take a faith trade for a goal who's not yet there as the number one goal?
Well, I think both strategies are possible. And there's a certain number of UFA goalies that have some attractiveness to us. And there's a certain number of situations around the league where their goalie depth is good. And we've got assets in terms of draft choices that we'd be willing to... We know that's an area that we have to have intense focus on.
Pittsburgh goal seemed like it might be like 25th or something. You know, like
yeah.
Does that negate any thought of perhaps trading that pick since it's going to be a much better first round goal?
Might get us a much better goalie. You know, it's turned out to be a much more valuable piece than it was when we traded for it. And, those discussions will largely be all done at the draft.
Terry, is there one thing you'd like to tell the fans that will send them into the off-season with some enthusiasm that you haven't said? And the other thing, if you're going to be in Switzerland, who's sitting in for you at the Saturday?
Lucky Billy Scott will be at the draft lottery.
Do you feel lucky?
I do. Yeah, I could. You know, well, somebody's going to get a whole lot smarter after the first period of that game on Saturday. Some organization will get a whole lot smarter, but Billy Scott will go to the draft. As for the fans, I would say that, the team that we're trying to build is going to be a highly entertaining hockey team. The team that we're trying to build is going to be a three-line team that can play offense, a very good, dependable fourth line. We're going to play a puck possession style. I think the fans have seen and appreciated the fact that we can make six or seven passes now and still have the puck. So I know I'm losing credibility, but I see a very entertaining, very impactful, very successful era of Oiler hockey on the horizon.
Greg, when you going back to the coaching question, just looking at the results when Todd came in, clearly there was a different reaction from the players. What will you do different in your hiring process of a coach this time than maybe you did when you went and hired Dallas 2 years ago? Like, have you learned from it? Will there be a different approach from you at all?
Well, I mean, I've said this about coaching all along. I was a coach. Coach is about timing. I mean, Todd had the timing was good for Todd, and it wasn't so good for Dallas. I mean, Todd came in here. We were able to get some more experience in terms of Klinkhammer, who added quite a bit of impact to the fourth line. Derek Roy, which really had a huge residual effect on Yakupov. Todd, to his credit, got more out of some of the players that we had here that I frankly thought was in them. Guys like Anton Lander. Nobody had been he played well for Todd. There was a familiarity with Todd. Todd put him in situations that perhaps I wouldn't have put in if I was coaching the team. So there are things that Todd does well. He's always had a group that performed well at the American League level too as well. But I'm not saying that Dallas is a bad coach. I'm not going to stand up here and say Dallas won't have success as a coach. I still believe he will. But the timing just wasn't right, and it looks like the timing was right for Todd.
On Justin Schultz, you've spoken very highly about his potential, the way the organization views his potential. He admitted yesterday he wasn't happy with his year. What did you think of the year that he had, Craig, and how do you feel about Justin's potential moving forward and maybe what he needs to do to start realizing some of that and taking steps forward?
I think Justin now has the focus on the level of his game that he needs to have it on. And we all know how good he is in the neutral zone. We all know how good he is in the offensive zone. And the focus, and I mean, our team plays a lot at times in the defensive zone. So our team isn't able to really help Justin that much with his deficiencies. So that falls on Justin. And I spoke with Justin a few weeks ago about some very specific things that I thought and felt that he needed to do in his game, and I've been really satisfied, really happy the way that he's committed himself to doing those things. And when you come into the league, like I've said many times, there's no greater springboard to development than failure, and things weren't going on the path that he wanted them to go on, and now I think the one step is to justify, is to acknowledge that there are things that you need to work on, and to acknowledge that you've got to play better, and that's generally the start of development.
Other than Jack, do you know any other guys that are going to the championship for your team? Like, I know we're going to try out.
What about Oscar? Taylor, Nuge, Ebbs, Hendricks for the U.S., yeah. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. Appreciate it.